starting with Parshas Yisro, we know that Yisro obviously contains the most significant event in all of history. More important than we know creation of the world, as we've pointed out many times, Rashi tells us, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Hashishi, that the whole world was basically waiting to have its existence confirmed when the Jewish people would accept Torah. If the Jewish people wouldn't have accepted the Torah, the world would have reverted to absolute nothingness. So Kabbalah Satorah is the most important event in world history. And we've spent a lot of time talking about the Aseres HaDibros, the lead up to the Aseres HaDibros, Kabbalah Satorah. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah. Some of the psukim that we find, you know, coming down the mountain. And it's a fascinating discussion. When exactly were these psukim even said? You know, it's unclear chronologically when they happen. You know, when you look at the psukim of Maftir, it's page 412, Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Tes, 2019, right? Vayomer Adonai El Moshe, Kosomer El Bnei Yisrael, Atem Risem Kim Min Hashamayim Dibarti Machem. Hashem said to Moshe, so you should say to the Jewish people that you have seen that I've spoken to you from the heavens. So obviously, this is obviously after Kabbalah Satorah. This is obviously after the Aseres HaDibros said. We're just not exactly sure when this was. You know, Moshe was up there for how long? Meaning there was Aseres HaDibros, then Moshe went up. So did Moshe give this over right after the Aseres HaDibros before he goes up? It's unclear exactly, and we're not going to get into that. But what's interesting is, what are the psukim that follow immediately after, right? Immediately after, we're told still about the experience, that is Shvi, that is Tesvav through Yudches, 15 through 18. But Pasuk Yudches leads us into a couple of mitzvos. The first mitzvah right after is Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Chesev Elohei Zav Lo Sasu Lachem. God said that you have seen from heavens how I've spoken to you. Don't try and capture it in an image. Don't try and make a physical representation of what happened here. Lo sasulchem, don't do that. We know Hashem will give images that have to be created. For example, the famous Kruvim on top of the Aron HaEdus, which itself, a lot of Mefarshim wonder. Hashem says no images, but yet in the holiest of holies, what do you have? You have images. You have two images. And that's something I think we've spoken about in the past. But Hashem's saying, don't try and like capture that experience, you know, by sort of minimizing it in some type of idol, if you will. And then it goes to something that really doesn't seem to have anything to do with this, right? It starts talking about the laws of how to build a Mizbeach. Mizbeach Adam Ata'aseh Li, V'zavachta Allah v'salosecha v'shlamecha sonecha v'spekarecha b'chol makom asher aski reshemi avo elecha uve'erechticha. And you shall build for me an altar of dirt, right? That it was filled with adama, it was filled with dirt, and you'll bring offerings there. V'im mizbach avanim ta'aseli, and this im obviously is when, and when you will build this mizbeach of adama for me, right, the mizbeach out of stones. Ta'aseli lo sivne eshen gazis ki charbecha hinafta levet chaleha. When you're going to make a mizbeach of stones, right? When you get to the Beis Hamikdash, you'll make a mizbeach of stones. And there were certain other times also they made mizbeachs of stones. We'll have to see. Don't build it with cut stones, with gazis, with hewn stones. Ki charbecha hinafta levet chaleha, because taking a sword over it and cutting it, what will that do? That will actually make it unfit to be part of the Mizbeach. Then, v'losala b'malos al mizbechi asher lo sigaler v'ascha alav. Don't go up steps to the Mizbeach so that your erva, your nakedness, should not be revealed, but instead going up to a Mizbeach is with a ramp. What does this do with anything? Right? And this is the question everyone talks about. Most people talk about in the beginning of the parsha, right? What's the lead up to Kabbalah Satorah? There are two things that are the lead up to Kabbalah Satorah. The first is Yisro, that Yisro, the outsider, always has a different perspective, a better perspective than someone who's inside. Because when you're inside, right, Moshe, Aaron, all the Jewish people, they're in it. It's happening to them. This is what happens to them. This is their life, right? When Yisro shows up and Yisro sees what's happening, he's like, this is amazing. This is awesome. And then how it says, how Yisro offers sacrifices and he makes a party, and Aaron, all the Ziknei Yisrael, they eat with Yisro in front of God, right? Yisro is celebrating what happens to the Jewish people. He's the one that can appreciate it, right? So that in of itself is a lesson. What Yisro hears, Vayishma Yisro, the power of listening, the power of taking to heart. And then it talks about judges, which, again, there's so many lessons. The idea that wherever truth comes from, Yisro is an idolatrous priest. He's teaching Moshe Rabbeinu a system of laws, the system of bringing out the laws and transmitting the laws that you're about to get. Okay, so a lot has been discussed why Yisro is the lead into the Kabbalah Satorah. Why is this the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah? Why is this the epilogue, if you will, to arguably the most important parasha of the Chol HaTorah Kula, right? So Rav Soloveitchik has a fascinating approach. And it's not the approach that Rashi has. We know, why does Rashi say that you can't use a sword? So let's look at Rashi, page 414. Kichar b'cha hinafta v'techal leha, that if you use metal onto it, so it makes those stones unfit. Why? Because Rashi says shamizbeach nivra laharich yom av shaladam v'harbarzel nivra lekatzer yom av shaladam, that the mizbeach was made to lengthen the days of a human being by effectuating obviously kapara, but iron was created, Rashi says, it's created to shorten the days of a human being. So how can you wave that which brings life to an end over something that is supposed to bring us to longer life, right? So that's Rashi's famous drasha, that you can't use a sword. And so what were we taught as kids? So what did they use instead? What did we use instead? Do we always forget this? That Shlomo HaMelech had a special worm. No? You didn't hear this? Yeah? Remember what it was called? Don't worry, I just had a friend my whole life, Gavriel Shamir. His middle name was Shamir. I'm not sure why his parents gave him the middle name Shamir, but his middle name was Shamir. And the Shamir worm was a worm that they said that Shlomo had that would cut the stones to size. So they were cut stones, but they weren't cut by metal, right? Because you can't put metal on something that's supposed to be Marich Yom of Shal Adam, and this is Mekatzer Yom of Shal Adam. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, points out, though, Pasha Pshat, it's not so clear that you had smooth cut stones by the Shamir. Why? Because look at page 1072. I know we're jumping a lot. It's in Devarim. It's in Parshas Kisavo. Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Vav. This isn't talking about the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, but this was the Mizbeach that the Jewish people had to have when they were re-entering, right? When they were going into the land and they were having sort of what's like when people get married again later on in life? They reaffirm their vows, right? So a reaffirmation ceremony for the Jewish people and Hashem, if you will. And in Pasuk Vav, it talks about the Mizbeach that they have to bring offerings on. In Pasuk Hey, it says, "Ovenisa sham mizbeach ladunay elhecha mizbeach avanim lo sinif aleim barzel." Right? Don't put any metal, iron, on those stones to cut at them. But then it says, "Avanim shleimos tivne es mizbeach adunay elhecha v'halisa alav olos adunay elhecha." What does avanim shleimos mean? Whole stones, meaning they're not cut by anything; they're whole stones. And Rav Soloveitchik said that isn't this interesting? That on the Mizbeach, it's not going to look so nice and smooth. It's going to be uneven. It's going to be rough. It's going to be bumpy. Why? Everything was always so beautiful. Everything you wanted to make it perfect. I mean, you talk about the measurements, everything perfect. But when you come to the Mizbeach, no. Mizbeach Avanim. Not the Mizbeach that was made out of Atzei Shittim, right? And that was covered with metal, right? That was the one in the Mishkan. But when you make an Amizbeach Avanim, the Pasuk says, you can't use a sword to cut the stones. And Rav Soloveitchik brings from this Pasuk here in Kisavo, the stones aren't cut at all. They're Avanim Shlemos. And they're going to be imperfect, because you're not going to find all these perfect stones to match in with each other, to fit in. Why is that? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Gemara in Chagiga Chav Zayin Amar Aleph tells us that the Mizbeach is a symbol of Kapara, right? The Gemara there talks about what do we do for Kapara if we don't have a Mizbeach anymore, whether it's our Tfilos, right? But the Mizbeach was a source of Kapara. And Rav Soloveitchik says that what were the Karbanos that most people offered up on the Mizbeach? What were considered the holiest of holies of the Karbanos? There was an Ola, right? But the Chatas and Ashram were also Kodesh Kadashim. And it could be that often the Ola went with the Chatas. But what was that? The sin offerings, the guilt offerings. That's what it means, that the Mizbeach brought Kapara. And when you brought the sin offering and you brought the guilt offering, what did you also have to do by when you brought them? You didn't just bring the Karban and that was it. You had to recite Vidui. You had to confess. Now Rav Soloveitchik said, confessing is really when you look at yourself in an honest way. Because if you start rationalizing, you start making excuses for yourself, that's not real Vidui. Right? You look in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, what real Vidui is. Real Vidui is, I messed up. I missed the mark. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to rationalize. You know, as someone once said, that you come as you are, right? Not smoothed out, not made all nice and looking good. And so what's fascinating, the Rav says, is if you look at Rashi, I know we're jumping all over the Torah tonight. The Rav says, look at Rashi in Parshas Bereishis, the creation of mankind, right? Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, right? Hashem is creating human beings. Vayitzer Adonai Elohim es Adam afar min ha'adama. Hashem forms a human being from the dirt of the ground. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim vahi Adam l'nefesh chaya. And Hashem breathes a breath of life into the nostrils of this human form that he made from dirt. And the human became, this form became a nefesh chaya, a living soul. So this is obviously a huge, huge pasuk, right? We've spoken about it many times. You know what most people don't speak about? The Afar Min Ha'adama. Where did that dirt come from? Did Hashem take dirt from Gan Eden? So look in Rashi. Look what Rashi says. Min Ha'adama. Tzavar Afaro Mikola Adama Me'arba Ruchos. Shekol Malkum Shiyam Hashem Te Kolato Lekfura. Quotes Tanchuma first, that Hashem made a pile of dirt from the four corners of the world, right? It's not meaning the world is flat, no, right? It's just saying from the four most extreme places, that wherever a human being passes away, the dirt should accept the body for burial. Davar acher, what's the second shot? Nafal afaru mimakom shenem rabo, mizbeach adama tasali. Right? Where did the dirt come from? The dirt came from this week's parsha, the pasuk that we just said, Mizbeach Adama Tasali. When you make a Mizbeach Adama, an altar of dirt, meaning it's not made from dirt, the inside is filled with dirt, right? Hashem took dirt from the Makom HaMikdash, the place where the Mizbeach was going to be, and that was the dirt that he made Adam HaRishon from. The first human being was made from the dirt that was sitting under the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, a Mizbeach Avanim, right? So Rav Soloveitchik said that this lesson, that a human being, the first human being, was made from the dirt that came from under the Makom HaMizbeach, what is that? Because whatever is for the Mizbeach is a lesson for us as well, right? This idea that not only in the tshuva process, but we have to, it's so important that we look at ourselves in a true way, that we don't rationalize. And Rav Soloveitchik takes it even further. You know when especially we have to be careful about it? Look at next week's parsha. I know, we're jumping all over tonight. We're like hopping all over. Look at the first pasuk in next week's parsha. Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lefneim. These are the laws that you shall place in front of them. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ve'ela mishpatim, right? Look at the second word. Look at the last word in the second line in Rashi or in the art scroll. V'lama nismecha parshas dinam leparshas mizbeach. Why does it tell us the section all about civil law next to this parsha of the Mizbeach, what it just ended Parshas Yisro? Lo melcha shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMikdash or HaMizbeach. There's a special halacha that the Sanhedrin, the judges of the Jewish people, had to sit near the Mizbeach. The Lishka, the chamber that the Sanhedrin sat in. The Lishka, I mean, it's interesting. It's the Lishka's Hagazis, the Lishka of the hewn stone, because the benches they sat up, but it had to be near the Mizbeach, because they had to see the uneven stones of the Mizbeach, Rav Soloveitchik said. Why do they have to see the uneven stones of the Mizbeach? Because, as we said, the Mizbeach represents the human being. And just as the Mizbeach can't be look perfect, it has to be made with these uneven stones. And you can't run your hand along it smoothly. It'll be bumpy along the way. So Zakht Rav Soloveitchik, that Judaism requires that the judges, the Sanhedrins, the greatest leaders, have to have the courage to admit their mistakes before, and their own failures and their own foibles, before they sit in judgment of another person. Why? Because there could be a great arrogance when a human being sits down and judges another person. It could be great arrogance when a person sits down and judges another person. And Zakht Rav Soloveitchik, so when that member of the Sanhedrin is about to judge a case and he looks and he sees the Mizbech, he sees the uneven stones, what does that mean? It reminds him, what? That he's not perfect. And that should bring a certain humility. And there are Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik that commented on that shir, that obviously, you know, the Mishnah and Avos, the way that so many interpret it is that, really, we're all judges, right? Aren't we always judging things? I mean, let's just use the simplest example. I always remember before I started driving, I was petrified of, like, how am I going to know how to go through a toll booth? I don't know why. Growing up in Staten Island, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, the Gothels Bridge was very narrow. I always was like, how do my parents not smash into the toll booth? Well, that was like my biggest fear when I started driving. Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, how do you pull up next to them and not hit? Like, I was mamish, like, as a little kid. As a little kid, I was wondering, like, what? And then you drive. But you know, you have to judge. You remember, as my driving teacher, Dave Bodner and Staten Island. And you have to judge these things, Chaim. You have to judge these things. How far? You have to judge. We're always judging things, right? And unfortunately, we're always, sometimes we have to be judging people. Is this person a threat to me? You know, on Nebuch, subway stations in New York City aren't the safest places these days. You know, when you're standing at a subway station, you look around, right? They always tell you, you have to be very aware of your surroundings. You have to be looking around. We're always making these hasharas. We're always making these estimations and judgment calls. But as Rav Soloveitchik said, when we make judgment calls, what do we always have to remember? We always have to remember our own foibles. We have to remember our own rough edges, our own failures. We have to have some humility. We talk about v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, right? What's the famous pshat in v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? Is that klal gadol b'Torah? What's v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? What? Kamocha, like we always, somehow, even though we know we have our own failings, we have our own issues, somehow, when we're passing judgment on someone else, we forget about our own issues. Like, how could that person, how could he, right? And we forget, like, oh my gosh, I have so many issues myself, right? This is why it comes right after the Torah. After Kabbalah HaTorah. What is Hashem teaching us? One, he's teaching us how we are to remember this event. Don't minimize this event. Don't make it smaller. and put it into your own little box, right? And make your own image of it. No. Be blown away by it. Try and remember and share the story, the narrative of what it is to all generations, right? And that's so often in the Torah, that point is stressed and stressed and stressed again. But then it comes and tells us about a Mizbeach. And obviously, the whole idea of a Mizbeach is important. Why? Because as we said, there's atonement. Meaning, you're getting laws, you're gonna mess up, it's okay. Right? That's how some interpret it. That there's the Mizbeach right after the Aseres HaDibros. Like, I just gave you laws, you're gonna mess up. Right? Like, the first sin you do right after Yom Kippur, you're like, shoot. Right? Like, there it goes. No? Like when you drink that first thing without saying a bracha, you're like, right after Yom Kippur, and I just drank that drop cat orange juice without a shakal miyabit. I'm going to hell. You know, like, that's it. Forget it. I'm done. Right? So the Torah is telling you, okay, this is a mizbeach. This is tshuva. Right? Cut yourself some slack. But Rav Soloveitchik saying that in the laws of the mizbeach, of cutting yourself some slack, guess what? You know what that's teaching us? Cut other people's slack also. Stop judging people so harshly, because, you know, look, you yourself aren't exactly the smoothest stone in the room, right? That's how the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik have taken this idea. That's one lesson about the stones, the Mizbeach Avonim. But then what's the last pasuk? V'lo sal b'malos al mizbechi asher lo sigal ervas cholav. Don't have steps to go up to the Mizbeach, so that when the Kohanim are wearing robes, they lift their leg, it shouldn't, right, be not snius for the Kohanim. So, as Rashi points out, Lubavitcher Rebbe says, just look at this Rashi. The Rashi is so powerful, right? Asher lo sigal ervos, sha'al yidei hamalos, ata tzarech la'archiv psiosecha. Because if it steps, you have to widen your strides. And va'afal pish enu gili erva mamish, even though there's no uncovering of the nakedness of the Kohen, and because they have on an undergarment, mikol makom erchavas ha'psios karav l'gili ervahu, va'ata noig b'am minag b'zayin. But taking wide steps and opening the robe, that's like, you know, a little bit acting in a disgraceful fashion to the stones. Vahari dvarim kal v'chomer. Listen to what Rashi says. And Rashi says that this halacha, that you can't have steps leading up to Mizbech. You have to have a ramp, because ramp you can take, you know, mother may I, can I take 3 baby steps or 50 baby steps, however many baby steps you need to get up to that big ramp. No giant steps. Sometimes this a step needs a giant step, right? But no giant steps. But vari dvarim kal v'chomer uma avanim halalu she'ein b'hem das lahakbir al bizyonon. Just as these stones, that they don't have any intelligence, right? You could talk about the secret life of plants, right? We've spoken about that book many times. That plants have emotions, right? We've spoken about these wacky studies they've done. Stones don't have emotions, okay? They're domain. You can insult a stone, you're a horrible stone. And the stone's not going to change. You do that to a plant, they argue, the plant's going to shrivel up and die, right? I'm serious, that's right? That's in the famous studies they've done. But a stone has no das, there's no intelligence, there's no emotions. It's not makbin on tzbizyon, it's disgrace. Amr Torah, the Torah says, ho v'yesh bem tzorech, but because there's a need, lo tinag behem minag bizayin. Because they're serving you in a very important role, you can't treat it improperly, in a disgraceful fashion. Chavercha, your friend, shehu b'demus yotzrecha, umakbet al bizyono, your friend that's in the image of your creator, and he is insistent, right? He is insulted when he is disgraced. Al achas kama v'kama, the Medrash Mechilta says. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, just read this Rashi. Think about what Rashi's teaching us. That you're doing this as you're going up a Mizbeach to serve God. It's on top of stones. The act itself is not a disgraceful act. Walking upstairs to go to the Mizbeach to offer a sacrifice to God, right? And you're talking about stones. But yet what does the Torah say? It doesn't matter that you didn't have any intention to disgrace them. It didn't matter that the person might not get disgraced. The stones aren't getting disgraced. It's still upon you to be as careful as you can. That's what it's telling us. That's what this is telling us. And this is, of course, such an important, like, epilogue to the Aseres HaDibros, right? Because the end of the Aseres HaDibros itself, right? We've spoken about that many times. The cap to the Aseres HaDibros, as the Ibn Ezra says, as so many pointed out, Lo Sachmod, is this crazy idea. This crazy idea that we can control our emotions, that we're commanded on our emotions. It's like a revolutionary idea that Judaism has. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this at length in a famous drasha, talks about it in the article Catharsis and Tshuva Drashas. Do you realize how wild it is, Lo Sachmod? The way many Rishonim say, you can't have an emotion. The emotion is forbidden. Wow. That's wild. Isn't that crazy? That's why it's the capstone to the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros, my Rebbe of Rosenzweig, Shlita, said, the Aseres HaDibros that starts with Anochi Hashem Elokecha needs to end also with a bang, and it does. You don't even realize what a bang Lo Sachmod is. It's teaching us that we can control our emotions. We're obligated on our emotions, right? The Rambam says you have to do tshuva for Amida Ra'a. For being an arrogant person, you have to do tshuva for that, the Rambam says. You have to do tshuva on Amida Ra. Why? Because we see we can control these things. Right? I always give the example, right? I was my mother's little Hungarian. A horrible temper. I still have a horrible temper. I've just worked on it for years. It comes out, you know, but I have a horrible temper. But I've been working on it for decades. Right? And many times I'll just walk away from something because inside of me I want to explode. And I know I can't. I'll just walk away. I'll walk away. Right? But that's the end of the Aseres HaDibros. Now we come to the end of the Parsha. Again, it seems anticlimactic. But Rav Soloveitchik saying, no, it's not. Rav Soloveitchik and Lubavitcher Rebbe saying, no, it's not. Because it's teaching us that even though we have these laws, you're going to mess up. There's a Mizbech, but there are laws about the Mizbech that are telling us how we have to see other people. Right? Because the Aseres HaDibros are Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam L'Chaver. It seems that this is just Bein Adam Lamakom. We're finishing, but no. As Rashi's quoting from the Mechilta, as the idea that Rav Soloveitchik is telling us about the stones, there's so much Bein Adam L'Chaver also in the end of this parasha. How we have to be working on ourselves, what we should be striving for. Because coming down from the high of the Aseres HaDibros, you know, it's all easy to feel so big on about ourselves, right? So Zachter Soloveitchik, the Torah is teaching us, that in that Mizbeach, the vidui that you do, no rationalizations, and it's shown by the stones that were filled with dirt, the same dirt that the first human being was created with, teaching us that we have to be able to have the courage to accept ourselves, to recognize our frailties, our vulnerabilities, and at the same time, that should bring us to a certain humility to be able to accept that about others. And that's how we end the Parsha. You could argue that this is the hardest thing in the Parsha. I don't know, Lo Sachmod might be harder. Lo Sachmod might be mamish, to control an emotion. The Torah, I mean, but as we said in Musar Thursday night, Mishil Sisharm of Don Segel, he pointed out such a beautiful idea. Because when you read the Mishil Sisharm, you could get very overwhelmed. You read Mishil Sisharm, you could get very overwhelmed. But Rav Don said, in one of his, Rav Don Segel is a very big tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael, spends time in America, and he says that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can ask so much of us shows how great we are. Right? He says, what do you expect of an animal? Do you expect an animal to do great things? No. Do you expect little kids to do great things? Right? You know, Ben versus Aaron. Right? I would expect, you'd expect more out of Aaron than Ben. No? You should, right? I mean, you know, I'm saying, okay, Sarah, Meira. You know, I expect certain things from Sarah that I would never expect from Meira. So Rav Don Segel says, that's why God expects so much of us. Because Hashem knows who we are. Hashem knows what we can be. And all of these mitzvahs, all of these things that sound like, guess what? You have Hashem in your corner. Hashem is behind you. Hashem is saying, you can do this. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. that says you're right. Every day Yetzer Hara works, and he says Yetzer Hara doesn't only work to pull you down and do eat the cheeseburger, you know, do the no. The Yetzer Hara also works every day harder to get us to fall to Midos Ra'os, as we saw tonight. These emotions, these poisonous emotions, Yetzer Hara every day works more on that. Hashem helps you every day. Hashem helps you every day. And that's what you have to remember. That's what we spoke about Shabbos, a little bit about Shiras Hayam, why it's important to say Azusha every day, to remember that you're a child of Hashem, and Hashem is there with the parent, holding your hand, bringing you along. Okay? Shkoyach, everyone. Have a good night. Have a great week. And I don't think people around next week, let's say Wednesday night, for sure, no people. Some people, you're not around. Okay, so we'll see. So, Tasha, I'm not around Monday, but maybe Wednesday. Okay, we'll see. We'll see what it is.